Just last Sunday in the Gospel, we heard that Jesus performed a miracle, opening the eyes of a blind man. Today's Gospel, Jesus is opening the eyes of his disciples in a different way. To the blind man, he restored the gift of sight so he could really see. To the disciples who could already see, he's opening the eyes so that they could see further and see indeed who Jesus was. The Gospel of Mark, which is the gospel that we are taking most of our Sunday gospel readings this year, is the shortest one of all the four gospels. And those who studied them, they agree that it was the first one to be put together. I mean, when I say put together, I mean that the gospels, they were not written while Jesus was still alive and walking. He didn't have anyone taking notes of his preaching and his miracles so that they would compile that in a book. It was two generations or three after the stories were told orally. They would tell, the disciples would tell the communities would repeat the story. So it took one, two, up to almost three generations so that they were compiling, those stories were put together. And we are at the center of Mark's gospel, not only because we are in chapter 8 and the gospel has only 16 chapters, but today's event in Jesus' life signs and shows a change. Up to now, no one knew who Jesus was, what was the identity of Jesus. They knew he was the man who grew up in Nazareth, the son of Mary and the carpenter Joseph. And he had begun to preach, to talk, and the crowds were gathered and to heal the sick, to expel the evil spirits. And now Jesus comes and asks his disciples, what are people saying? Who they say that I am? Was Jesus worried about his popularity? No, I don't think he was driven by any of that concern. But I guess he needed that feedback so that he would understand, is my message being understood? Is what I preach, what I teach, not only with words, but also with his signs and miracles? Do people understand that? And the disciples, they answer, well, some say you are John the Baptist, others say you are Elijah. Meaning, they recognize you are like our great prophets. And then Jesus turned to his own disciples, those who were close to him, who would walk with him, who would have most surely explanations about all the parables and the stories that Jesus was telling the crowds. And Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Peter answers, you are the Christ. Christ is a Greek word. The Hebrew word would be Messiah. And what it means the anointed, the chosen one. Peter and all the disciples, they understood and they recognized that Jesus was the chosen one by God, the one God had sent. Most people in their time, they were expecting that Messiah. Most people also understood by Messiah a new king, a new David. David, who lived 1,000 years before Jesus, he was the model, the great king for them. And they longed for the day when they would see a new David in their midst, who would restore the nation of Israel. Jesus will show them something different, though. Most probably, Peter also and the other disciples had that idea of a Messiah, a great king. That's why when Jesus began talking, and he would talk 3 times in different situations to his disciples about going to Jerusalem, and when he would get to Jerusalem, he would be betrayed. He would be condemned, and they would kill him. And then he would rise 3 days after. They could not understand that. That's why Peter said, "No way, Lord. If you are the Messiah, if you are the Christ, Christ cannot suffer. The Messiah cannot be conquered. He cannot be killed." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Say, you know, you are not having God's thought here. You are just thinking as humans do. Learn how to see beyond that suffering, that cross. And that's what I mean by that when I said that Jesus was opening his disciples' eyes so they could see as in today's first reading from the prophet Isaiah, who mentions the suffering servant, the one who was suffering and nobody would recognize that face. That would be Jesus, that people would not recognize when he was hanging on that cross. But he would conquer it. The cross would not be the defeat that many thought it could be. The victory was to come in the glory. Now, this question of who Jesus is must be answered by each one of us. I do believe that most of us have gone to religious education, many here with Sister Pat or somebody else, and we learned about Jesus. And if you say, "Who is Jesus?" say, "Oh, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity." And we can go on and on with the titles that we have learned. But there is a moment in life that I have to say what all these words really mean to me. How can I translate that into my life experience? And saying that I'm not following Jesus because there is so many other people that do, so I just go along with the crowd. Our eyes must be open as well, so that we know that the real master is Jesus, and we are all followers. And as followers, we are all, you know, come to a point that we might consider ourselves not even worthy of following him. The only one who will never give us any deception is the Lord Himself. Because in our minds, we might have as well that idea of our powerful God, who indeed He is, but we cannot see Him in our own sufferings, in our own trials and challenges that life will bring us. And at those moments, we might just feel that we are forgotten, that we are betrayed, that God is not listening, but absent from our lives. But He's trying to tell us that He will conquer all the challenges that we lay ahead for Him and for us as well. We are Jesus followers today. And to indeed be the followers that the Lord deserves, we have to answer, who is He in our lives? What is the meaning of gathering every Sunday here to celebrate the praise that we offer the Lord? We give Him praise, but we are the one benefiting from that, because He's given us the strength that we need to continue to walk the path of righteousness, so that our faith will not be only words. Today's second reading, letter of James. You know, what is the most important thing? And the Apostle James is telling us, our faith cannot be void, but we must be accompanied by good acts of charity, of recognizing and seeing the needs that are all over us, our sights, surrounding us. There are people in need. And if we ignore that, and if we think, well, they will take care of themselves, I'll just take care of myself, and may God bless us all, but I don't do anything, or I'm not at least solidary with the suffering that is in the world, my faith will be void. My faith will be empty. My faith will not be concrete. Of course, we cannot, say, what can I do? I cannot solve the situations of the world. No, but we can be at least solidary with that. In the name of our very faith that we profess, our faith brings us closer to God. But there's no way of getting closer to God if we do not get closer to our brothers and sisters, all of them, especially those most in need. But to get that point, we just need to answer, who is Jesus for me? How would I answer that question today?